Welcome back, crime fanatics. This is True Crime Project that you're listening to, and I'm Kat.
And this is Steph.
And we have not been on our normal schedule. I apologize. It's been a little bit crazy around here lately between everything with COVID-19 and school closures and jobs and everything in the whole world feels a little crazy right now. I will say my state of Illinois has just done a shelter in place. So my kids were home all week last week. They're home for the unforeseeable future. And I no longer have a job. So that's been definitely different. And Steph, your state is what? Where are you at right now?
So as of tomorrow night at 11:59, we are on a shelter in place. I had my last day at my job on Thursday, because we only went in Thursday because DeWine gave us the axe on Wednesday, but they had us come in on Thursday to like completely sanitize the place.
That's a and good then, thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think we danced around to like old bangers on my phone more so than anything else. But and then my boyfriend's job is shutting down tomorrow for 2 weeks. So either one of us, I'm telling you right now, one of us is not going to make it out of quarantine, and it won't be the virus that kills us.
Well, I even told my husband, I was like, so he's working still. I lost both my jobs, but he's still working because it's any essential jobs. So he is a mechanic, but he works for companies that our food production and food distribution and things like that. So he's considered an essential job. So he's still working. Thank God. Because I'm like, with me being home 24 hours a day, the kids are home 24 hours a day. Like, I'm having a hard enough time just trying to figure out what to do with them and deal with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm like, if he was home on top of them, if I had a third big hairy child home all day, every day, I don't think we'd make it. Like, no. It's been a lot. I am thankful that for the most part, that our state pulled the kids as early as they did, and that now I can be home because there are so many people who are not able to do that, who have essential jobs and are pretty much at this point just worried about themselves and bringing it home to their families. So, I mean, my heart definitely goes out to anybody who has a case of this in their family or themselves, especially for those who do have immunocompromised people in their lives. We have a friend who, did we hear back if her dad was being tested for COVID-19, but did we hear back on the results of?
Yeah, yesterday morning she said he doesn't have it.
Oh, that's a good thing. But yes. Now that he's in the hospital, that's almost scary too, because it's like, yeah, I don't know. She's in Wisconsin and they seem to be having a ton of cases too. So hopefully everybody stays safe and healthy. And I mean, I don't know, it feels surreal going out grocery shopping right now. Even like, that's the only thing by me that's open. So by like, what time was it the other night? Like 7 o'clock at night, our streets were dead. And it's dark because the lights for most businesses that are still usually operating are off. So it's just like the grocery stores that are around. And it just feels so strange to like be out running to the grocery store and it's 7 o'clock at night, not midnight, and everything's closed down. It's just very, very strange.
Yeah. So. We haven't been, DeWine has been asking us to be like on a shelter in place, but really nobody was, you know, complying with that. So that's why he had to sign the order today.
Yeah.
To order us all to stay at home. My only thing is like just going out and getting groceries. And I'm just like, I hate to do it, but we're going to run out of our quarantine groceries that I stocked up on last week by the end of this week. So hopefully it's not too crowded when I go out. And we have enough toilet paper, so I'm good there.
Yeah, I've been going if I'm out for something, like I had to run and grab my paycheck yesterday. So I'm like, well, I'm out. I'm going to run and grab a few things, but we should definitely be good for probably about 2 weeks right now. So
yeah,
as long as we don't lose our minds and eat all our quarantine snacks because we have nothing else to do.
Dude, you should do what I did. When I was at Walmart yesterday, cause I broke my hand mixer and I wanted to make cookies. So I had to fucking go buy a new hand mixer. But I bought these two little baskets. And I'm not sure if you saw it on Facebook, or I think I sent it to you in our group
chat. I did. I'm not talking about my kids. I'm talking about me.
What?
I'm not even talking about my kids eating all their snacks. I'm worried about me being like,
oh,
yeah. You know that that part in, oh, God, what is Lion King? Is it Lion King? No. Oh my God, I'm losing it, you guys. Aladdin, the cartoon, where Jafar, like the bird, or one of them's in a cage because they're in trouble or in jail for, I don't even remember, but he's like singing, "Lonely, I'm so lonely." I'm like, that's me.
Are you sure that's not the Lion King?
Is it? I don't remember. It was just a bird. That's what I remember.
I'm pretty sure that the Lion King has a scene like that.
Okay, it might be. That's why at first I thought it, but then I was thinking it makes more sense if it was Jafar's bird, right?
I can't answer that question. I've never seen Aladdin.
Guys, we're having a Disney night at my house tonight, so I can figure this out. I just remember that scene, and I'm like, that's me now. Me and my kids. It's like, oh, I don't know. We have been going for walks. We went yesterday. We actually took chalk with us and like wrote messages as we went here and there, just like random funny things or whatever, just so that all the other people who are now just the only thing they can do is go for a walk will at least find some kind of entertainment, hopefully, when they do.
Right.
And we have been watching movies. We've been the Cincinnati, your zoo, I'm very happy with. They have every day at 2, which actually my kids are missing it right now, but we can watch it in a little bit because it'll still be up. They've been featuring a different animal every single day. Cincinnati Zoo. So if you go to their Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden at 3 p.m. Eastern, or my time is Central, so 2 p.m., which I figured out when I stupidly went on at 3 p.m. my time one day. But they have been featuring a different animal every day at 3 Eastern, and it's really kind of cool. The first one they did was Fiona, which was their premature hippopotamus, and we had read that book about her and like her journey and stuff, so my kids are loving it. But there's a lot of activities like that online and stuff for anybody trapped with their kids, unsure what to do, so highly recommend. And actually, if you guys at home listening right now have any activities that you are doing with your kids that you love, definitely share it on our Twitter, because I would appreciate it. I'm sure Steph would too, because she's about to be real trapped for the next week as well. So,
yeah, before we started recording, I asked Kat if she was drinking anything, and she said she's drinking coffee. I brought White Claws with me upstairs to drink. I think I have drank at least 2 drinks a day since being off work, because I don't fucking know what to do with myself. I made quarantine cookies last night.
My husband doesn't even drink, and yesterday he messaged me when I was out running my couple errands, and he goes, so I'm going to have one of those tarantula margaritas. it's like 1:30 in the afternoon. And he doesn't drink. So he's day drinking, y'all. It's getting serious. But
yeah, I started today technically at 2 because our recording messed up and we had to redo it. So I'm on an hour and a half of one can. So I think I'm doing pretty good.
That's not so bad.
I don't want to be white girl wasted in the middle of the podcast trying to tell you an episode.
I don't know. It might make it more interesting.
I mean, could be. Can shotgun the other one real quick if you want me to. No, we don't want me to do that.
I think you could probably drink White Claws all day, though, and not be drunk. I don't know.
I mean,
it's like Malibu and pineapple kind of thing.
I had 2 last night, and I was feeling it. Shut up. Don't judge me.
No, that's okay. That's a good thing. You're not an alcoholic.
Yeah, I was at home with the boys all three of them by myself for a little bit because Mike had to go do something. And I texted him at one point. I was like, when are you coming home? Because they are driving me crazy.
Well, they're about to drive you crazy for a full, well, probably 2 weeks now, huh? I don't even know. I feel like we're indefinite. We have supposedly, they moved it from the beginning of April to now April 6th. So we got an extra week of the kids home. But we have been hearing rumblings that they're not going back. So
we've been hearing the same, but we are on the shelter in place until April 6th now as well.
Yeah, that's what ours is as well. So I'm assuming.
But they go back to their dad's on Tuesday, the older
two. Yeah, I don't have that.
Yeah, and then I just got to talk to the baby, but he might be the worst of the three.
Yeah, but he's so cute. But I like his little antics now that he's starting to get into stuff.
All right, guys. So there's a story for his antics. Yesterday, I had, had to go buy a new hand mixer, come home. When you walk into my house, you walk right into the kitchen. To the left is the doorway into the dining room, and then you follow that room, it goes into the living room. So I put everything on the counter, turn around, and the baby is in the toy box, like full-blown sitting in the toy box. And I yelled to my boyfriend, I was like, hey, are you watching him? His immediate response was, no. And I was like, so are you going to get him? And he like jumps up thinking he got into something like he totally shouldn't have. And he comes into the dining room and he's like, he's fucking in the toy box. I was like, yep, yes, yes, he is. So every time I turn around now, he's in the goddamn toy box. And like, there's a window. And if the boys are outside, he will be in that toy box so he can yell at them through the window.
That's he's like hilarious.
Begging. He's like banging on the window, screeching at them because he's outside or they're aww. Outside without him.
Is that the only place he can see out a window? Like, is if he climbs in the toy box?
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably why. Aw, little boo.
I'm opening a White Claw if you hear anything. Oh, God.
Oh, we're about to be white girl wasted on the podcast, guys.
I mean.
Oh, and we are going to, fingers crossed, get a mini sewed out this week too, since we have all this newfound time on our hands. So
yeah, Steph doesn't do well being bored, just so everybody's aware of this.
You guys, I actually got through all my laundry today. That's probably the first time in like a decade.
So after we were done like messing around with like our recording like an hour ago, I went downstairs and I was like looking at the ceiling in the kitchen and I was like, you know what I'm going to do when we're done? He's like, what's that? I said, I'm going to vacuum the ceiling. And he's like, what the fuck?
Hey, you got cobwebs. You got to vacuum that ceiling on the regular.
Oh my
for
God.
Sure after a long winter.
I'm like, this is how you know I'm bored is when I'm like ready to vacuum the fucking ceiling.
Oh, last night. So because all of the movie theaters are closed, so the Invisible Man is on demand, which it costs like $20 to watch it because it's basically them trying to make up for not being in the theater now. But that's mm-hmm. fine because we would have gone to see it in the theater anyways. So long story short, we watched it last night. I thought it was really kind of good. But I also love, Invisible Man.
Oh, Invisible Man. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to watch that.
You can watch it on demand right now, I believe. I did last night. We had to pay like $20 to watch it, but I thought it was really good.
Did you forget? I have a Fire Stick. I can watch anything for free.
Yeah, I have a Fire Stick as well, but I feel like the quality for one that's still in the theaters is usually shittier, has like the whatever at the bottom, like Chinese writing or whatever.
Right.
But also, I don't know, for ones that are supposed to still be in the theater, I kind of want to support them too, you know, like, so right. Like we'll probably watch Onward this week on demand too. And honestly, yeah. And honestly, it's cheaper to watch it on demand than it would have been if we took the whole family to the theater. So it's like, right. Whatever. So
there's something before we move on. My area manager at work tagged me in something.
Huh.
That's Friday. I'm just trying to find it. Because it's a list of the best true crime on Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, and Now TV, which I don't know what Now TV is. But she said The Jinx, which is on Now TV, I don't know what it's about, but she said it is really good. If any of you can find that. Okay. But I plan on watching it at some point, probably when the older two go back to their dads.
Documentary from 2015. Expert documentary. The story delves into the strange history of real estate heir Robert Durst, long suspected in the still unsolved 1982 disappearance of his wife, as well as the subsequent murders of family friend Susan Berman, neighbor Morris Black. Huh. Now I want to watch it. Hopefully I can actually get it on demand. Oh, it's on Hulu. So I have it. Perfect.
Okay, cool. I have Hulu. Yeah. I didn't even know I had Hulu until night, and Mike's like, we've been signed into it for like a month and a half, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, we have Sprint, so when my husband got his phone a few months ago, we had like 2 years of Hulu for free through Sprint. So I'm yes, like, whatever.
Because for some reason, you know, I have Verizon, and I keep telling Mike, because Verizon in our area gets better service in like the rural areas, and Mike is bound and fucking determined to stay with Sprint. I was like, you know what, fine, if that's what you want to do. And us both paid, you know, $130 phone bills each month instead of,
Yes. Anyways.
You know, instead of, like, combining our phones and, like, him switching to Verizon, I was like, if that's what you really want to do, fine. But, anyways, yeah.
Why don't we get into it and we will discuss later.
Okay. All right. So today I am going to tell you about a dirty cop who is probably like, I hope at the end of this you think he is just like BTK as like a bumbling idiot. Like that is what I want you to get out of this story. Okay.
Okay.
So Gerard John Schaefer was born on March 25th, 1946 in Wisconsin. He was the oldest of three children. He later described his family as turbulent and conflictual. He also refers to himself as an illegitimate child. His parents had a shotgun wedding when his family found out his mom was pregnant. Like in most cases, his father was a verbally and physically abusive alcoholic. His father was also flagrantly adulterous, and a lot of the time he wasn't home, whether on business trips or personal trips away from the family. By the 1960s, Schaefer's family settled in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He graduated high school in 1964 there, and he was working on the first of several college degrees when his parents divorced in 1967. By Schaefer's own admission, when talking to psychiatrists later in life, he said that he had numerous sexual hang-ups from an early age. At around age 12, he started experimenting with bondage and sadomasochism. He would often tie himself up to a tree. I'm still trying to figure out how one does that to himself.
Where there's a will, there's a way. I don't know. That's fucking weird. But yeah. I feel like in a lot of these cases where we have very minimal information as to their families other than that they were abused, I feel like there almost has to have been some sort of sexual abuse for them to immediately go toward this like
sexual response.
Yes, exactly. Sadomasochistic, like fucking crazy off the wall sexual fantasies and things like that. Like maybe not, but either way, anyways, sorry.
No, you're fine. So, and then he would get sexually aroused from tying himself up to a tree and then hurt himself. Around the same time, he started to masturbate a lot and would think about hurting other people, women specifically. He also discovered women's panties, would wear them, and then the cycle of wanting to hurt himself would start again. His earliest childhood memories are of games he used to play where he would always end up being the one that is pretend dead during the game, I guess is a good way to say that. His father favored his sister, so apparently he wished he had been a girl instead of a boy, And in his words, he was a massive disappointment to the family. I mean, I've said that to myself about my family many times, but
I mean,
not in the same way as him, but
there's a lot. I mean, I'm certainly, I would say probably the black sheep just because I don't fall in line as easily as the boys do. But I think for like someone to truly believe they're like the disappointment, like that seems he does, it's probably from hearing from the person that's supposed to love you, your parent, all the time, that you're worthless or things like that, probably from a young age would be my guess. So that's
right.
Kind of, I mean, that's sad, even though I'm sure he turned into be a delightful adult.
Well, you're about to find out.
Yeah.
Schaefer claimed to have been seeing a psychiatrist in 1966, seeking help with his sexual deviance and homicidal thoughts. But therapy didn't help, and it rarely does in extreme cases. In later accounts, he said he had said that he heard voices telling him to kill, so a little schizophrenia diagnosis probably would have been a good starting point in treating him. Later in 1966, he had a calling to be a priest. He toured the South with people who preached to others that freedom wasn't free, but he was ultimately rejected from St. John's Seminary because he didn't have enough faith. Rejection, maybe I should stop drinking the White Claws. Rejection seems to be a theme in his early life, probably leading him to the most extreme behaviors he was exhibiting. He was so mad about being rejected from the seminary, he quit the Catholic Church. Because at that point, he sounds like a petulant fucking teenager to me.
Mm-hmm.
His next calling was to teach. His hopes were to instill American values like honesty, purity, and unselfishness and love into children. He had two student teaching jobs, but was let go from both for trying to impose his own moral and political views on his students. The second time...
He's a narcissist.
Yeah. The second time, the supervisor told Gerard that he had better never let him hear of his trying to get a job with any authority over other people, or he'd do anything he could to prevent it. In 1968, Schaefer married Martha Fogg. They were only married for 2 years before Martha filed for divorce in 1970 with claims of extreme cruelty. Schaefer then took some time to collect himself and spent it in Europe and North Africa that summer. I mean...
What year was it again? 1970. And she divorced him for extreme cruelty. So this is probably still around the time, just past the 60s, where it was basically okay to smack your wife around. So yeah. I can only imagine somebody like this, how, and especially with having like crazy deviant sex, like sadomasochistic sex fantasies and stuff, that wasn't muted either, by the way. But I'm sure that in 1970, if she was divorcing him and saying that it was for extreme cruelty, that it was probably really extreme cruelty. So I feel for her having been married to someone like that.
Yeah. I was trying to do the math here. So he graduated in 64. So that roughly puts him at 18. And so add 6 years. So, I mean, he was probably 24, 25-ish, depending. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's pretty young to be. I mean, even at 12 years old, that's young to have the thoughts that he was having. But
yeah.
Anyway, so. But. He came home with a new goal. If he wasn't able to be a priest or a teacher, he wanted to pursue a career as a police officer. He applied to many departments and was rejected again by most. Rejected.
I mean, either way, they got rid of him.
Except two of the departments he applied to. Once he failed the psychological test, and the other hired him despite failing the test. In March 1972, Schaefer earned praise for his role in a drug bust. But 1 month later, on April 20th, he was fired. The reasons have varied over the years, but one theory is That he didn't have any common sense. An ex-FBI agent said that Schaefer would run female traffic violations, like their names, through the department's computer and then later hit them up for dates. Insert huge eye roll here.
First of all, if you give me a ticket, I ain't going on a date with you. So they're right. He doesn't have any common sense. But second of all, that's creepy as fuck.
Right?
That is creepy as fuck.
Schaefer needed a new job after getting fired. So near the end of June, he signed with the Martin County Sheriff's Department, packing up everything he owned and moved to Stuart, Florida. It took him only a month to fuck up his career there, too. On July 21st, 1972, Schaefer picked up two hitchhikers, 17-year-old Pamela Wells and 18-year-old Nancy Trotter, on the highway near a local beach. Schaefer told the girls that hitchhiking was illegal, which it wasn't, then drove them back to the halfway house that they were staying at. And so a halfway house now is one who's like transitioning out of prison to try to like transition back into normal life. So I don't know what a halfway house was considered in the 70s.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that a little bit later.
It's considered Schaefer, don't want it in my neighborhood is what it's considered.
Schaefer no being thanks. The gentleman he is. I'm sorry, what?
I just said no thank you.
Offered to meet them the next morning off duty and drive them to the beach himself. You know, since hitchhiking is illegal and all that. The girls agreed, but instead of taking them to the beach, he drove them to swampy Hutchinson Island. Once there, his gentleman switch flipped, and he started making sexual comments to them and drew a gun on them as well. Schaefer told the girls that he was going to sell them as white slaves to a foreign prostitute ring. Forcing them out of the car, he tied their hands together and then leaned them against a tree and then put nooses around their neck.
Well, okay. What's his deal with trees? What is it called when you fuck trees? There's a word for it. I feel like he's got some like weird obsession with trees too.
Let me Google it.
And I will tell you in one moment. Actually, watch this. What is it called when you have sex with trees? Oh, I didn't put it up loud enough.
Tree encyclopedia. Dendrophilia literally means love of trees.
Dendrophilia. Fucking creepy ass bastard. It's gross. No, knock it off.
So are you getting BTK stupid vibes yet?
As far as common sense, yes. Let's see where this goes. Wait. We'll compare.
There's
it.
More. It was at that time Schaefer decided to leave, but told the girls he'd be back. And then these two amazing girls.
So he tied them to a tree and then was like, okay, bye.
No, he put a noose around their neck to try to like scare them into not moving so they'd stay there. But yeah, I don't know what his intention was with like leaving, if it was just to scare them or what. But yeah, these two girls escaped their noose and ran away. When they reached the highway, they flagged down a car, which to their amazing luck was a cop car. They promptly told the cop Schaefer's name, since he told them his name the day before when he picked them up for hitchhiking. By the time he returned, he learned of the girl's escape and then called the sheriff, telling him he had done something foolish. And that was his own words. He tried to play it off as trying to teach the girls a lesson to not hitchhike. He was fired on the spot over the phone, which I think is hysterical.
Over the phone?
Yeah, because he had called his sheriff.
Oh.
Or, what? Like, I guess the radio? Yeah. I don't know. It says he called the sheriff. That's what my notes say. Don't question me. Anyways, he was charged with false imprisonment and two counts of aggravated assault, and then he was released on a $15,000 bond. At the trial in November, he pled guilty on one assault charge and the other counts were dropped. He was sentenced to 1 year and then 3 years probation. That judge called him a thoughtless fool. The ex-deputy started serving his sentence on January 15th, 1973. Plot twist, though. two other girls were missing from that same neighborhood, and their stories don't end as well as the first girl's. While Schaefer
did
was
they go first, missing before those yes. ones he got caught for? Okay.
Well, it was while he was out on bond. Yeah.
Why? I don't yep. really, I don't understand bond. Like, for certain, remind me to circle back to this after we're done talking about this, because I want to update a little bit on a different case. So let's make sure I go off on a rant about this later. Go ahead.
Okay.
Carry on.
While Schaefer was on bond pending trial, 17-year-old Susan Place and 16-year-old Georgia Jessup had disappeared from Fort Lauderdale. Susan's parents said the girls were last seen at her house leaving with an older man named Jerry Shepherd on their way to play guitar at a nearby beach. They were never they never returned home. But Lucille Place had noted Schaefer's license plate number, which is Susan's mom, mm-hmm. along with a description of his blue-green Datsun. It was March 25th, 1973, before the slowest fuck investigators traced his plate number back to Schaefer, by which time he was already serving time for assaulting the first two girls.
Now he's out on bond and he just got himself a birthday present because that's his birthday.
Yes. But okay, so March 25th is he 3 months? Is that March is the third month? Yeah. So that's 3 months after he started. Shut up. it's getting hot in here over here.
it's a White Claw, guys. So January to March is 2 months.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is only 2 points.
Anyways, carry on.
So that's
math,
when...
You guys, math is hard.
I do hair. I don't do math.
Anyways, so he got himself a birthday present.
No, that was when the investigators traced the plate back to him. He was already in jail for that time, serving his 1 year sentence. So this happened while he was out on bond, remember? And he started serving his sentence on January 15th, 1973. And
then they went missing in March?
Yes. No. He was caught. Okay, hold on.
He was out on. Okay. Is it different years? Okay. Is it two different January?
On July 21st is the day that he picked up those two hitchhikers. So he was fired the next day. And that was in 1972. So, I mean, July to January, he was out on bond that entire time.
Oh, so he didn't get himself a birthday present. Okay.
No.
It's just when they finally connected the dots. Okay. Yes.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
So they got him a birthday present by extending his stay in prison, I hope.
Yes.
That's probably not how... Oh, they did. Okay.
I mean, kind of. So, Schaefer obviously denied any contact with Place and Jessup, but the case began unraveling on April 1st, 1973, when skeletal remains were found on Hutchinson Island, which is where he took the first two girls, the hitchhikers, by three men collecting aluminum cans. 4 days later, by using dental records, the victims were identified. Susan had been shot in the jaw. The other girl, there's no cause of death that was stated, but the crime scene investigators indicated the two girls were tied to a tree and butchered.
Ay, ay, ay.
On April 7th, police searched the home of Schaefer's mother, where Gerard had personal items stored in a spare bedroom. Evidence recovered in the search included a stash of women's jewelry, 100-plus pages of writings and sketches depicting mutilation murders of young women, newspaper clippings about two women missing since 1969. Now, mind you, 1969 is years before any of this is happening. And pieces of ID belonging to vanished hitchhikers Colette Goodenow and Barbara Wilcox, both 19. The two girls had last been seen alive on January 8th, a week before Schaefer was sent to jail in Martin County. While their skeletal remains were found in early 1977, no cause of death could be determined, which meant no charges were filed.
No. They're dead. You know they were murdered, and he has their belongings. I don't give a fuck. charged his fucking ass. Put me on that jury.
Just wait. There's more. The second, okay. One of the newspaper clippings referred to the February 1969 disappearance of waitress Carmen Hollick. Presumably abducted from her home, items of her jewelry were found in Schaefer's collection, along with a gold-filled tooth identified by Hollick's dentist. But once again, no charges were filed.
Of course not.
What?
Of course not.
Oh, yeah. So, the second missing woman, Lee Bonadies, I'm hoping that's how you say it, had been a neighbor of Schaefer's when she disappeared in September 1969. He claimed she had been teasing him by undressing in front of an open window. A piece of her jewelry was also found in Schaefer's collection. There were no charges filed. Her remains were finally found in 1978. More jewelry.
Well, how many years was Schaefer in prison for since March or January 15th of 73? So, when all these body parts and people are being found, where is he? Is he still in prison?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, how many years was he actually sentenced to?
So we haven't gotten to that part yet, but I mean, he was held without bond after all these cases started surfacing that was connecting him.
Okay.
More jewelry linked Schaefer to the disappearance of 14-year-old Mary Briscolina, who vanished from Broward County with 13-year-old Elsie Farmer in October 1972. Their remains were found in early 1973. No cause of death could be determined, and no charges were filed.
If no charges are being filed for all of these, how are they holding him for them? That's what I'm confused about, you know?
The first two, the one that he actually murdered while he was out on bond, those ones were connected to him.
Okay.
Legitimately connected to him.
So he's going to trial at some point for those, I'm guessing?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. I'm with you.
So the list of suspected victims would only grow over time, but Schaefer faced charges in only two of the murders. He was indicted on May 18th, 1973, so just 2 months, after he was connected to those two girls, for the brutal murders of Jessup and Place. Held without bond awaiting trial, he was convicted on 2 counts of first-degree murder in October 1973. His sentence was 2 concurrent life sentences. He filed more than 20 appeals, and every single one of them was rejected by the court. Schaefer was nearly forgotten by 1990, when former high school girlfriend Sandra London published a collection of his stories under the title Killer Fiction, which is... That's just too ominous for me. More books followed, Schaefer insisting that his stories were art. Police and prosecutors described them as thinly veiled descriptions of actual crimes. Schaefer wrote several letters to attorneys and acquaintances, which all but admitted his guilt in all of the murders. And as more letters were written, his body count only soared higher. His claim is between 80 to 110 murders. So think about this. What? 6 people were found?
Yeah.
Connected to him, and his claim is 80 to 100. Now, who knows if that's all true? Because at this point, we're never going to know, because on December 3rd, 1995, Schaefer's luck had run out. Another inmate barged into Schaefer's cell, slashed his throat, and stabbed him in both of his eyes. Prison officials named the killer as inmate Vincent Rivera, serving life plus 20 years, but no specific motive has ever been released. Which, since the crimes were all against women and 3 of them underage, I think that's motive enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I pulled up Killer Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I kind of want to, originally published in 1982, I kind of want to pull it, buy it and read it, but I don't even know if I could really handle it at this point in life. I feel like I'm living in a nightmare as it is right now, but it's so weird. So did she I just want to know, like, did his ex-girlfriend just happen to find them? Oh, you can actually just read it right online, it looks like.
I think that he was mailing them to her.
Oh.
But I don't know who got the monetary gift.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh. Who got the monetary...
Did you hear me say I don't know who got the monetary gain from it?
I heard you say I don't know who got the That's what I heard.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know who got the monetary gain from it, though.
I wonder if anybody, because honestly, I can literally read it just online right now. So yeah. I'm sure somebody, maybe, probably his ex-girlfriend. But can you imagine, like, oh God, there's like pictures and stuff. I don't know. I still kind of want to read it, but definitely wouldn't pay for it because I don't want anybody to get like gain from that unless it went to the victims or something. Yeah, I don't know. That's a lot. He's slightly BTK-ish, but I feel like BTK was more bumbling idiot, and he's more... He definitely did some stupid stuff, but he also clearly got away with a lot. And probably more than we'll ever know, unfortunately. I wonder if there's a documentary on him, because I feel like there's a lot more information to this, like about his career and things like that. And like, I'm curious what neighbors and different people felt about him, you know, like how was he in life as far outside of his career, so he obviously didn't prosper at because he kept getting fired, but like he clearly had girlfriends and wife.
Like friends and accounts of him or anything like that. I think everybody just thought he was fucking stupid.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Ugh, what an icky case.
Yeah.
I kind of
absolutely
find the way he ended a little bit poetic, though. And good on inmate, in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's bad, but I love some vigilante shit, so I'm sorry. That's the wrong way to go about it, but I like it.
Crimes against children always get taken care of in prison.
Yeah. Speaking of, so are you one of the ones that sent me the link and said watch this for the Gabriel Fernandez
one?
Okay. I haven't, and I'm not sure if I'm going to watch it simply because I know the story and it's a horrific story, and
it's so heartbreaking watching it.
And I just am not in a place where I want to do that to myself currently. But I just saw an article recently that basically the mom got her ass beaten in jail. And I'm like, good.
Yes.
So, like, I kind of wish that they would do shit to her like she did to her son who loved her and is an innocent child. And, like, just... to do horrible things like that to your own kid, I will never understand that.
Do you know? So, like, when I was watching it, the pictures of him that they were showing before he was placed back in his mother's care, he was a visibly happy child. But as the months went on, I think he was only in her care between 4 and 6 months. I'm not sure of the exact range. But each picture that was taken, he just got... you could physically see the abuse against him in these pictures. It was super, super heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah, I don't know that I could do that to myself right now.
I mean, I would.
I know what the story is, and that's pretty much why I haven't watched it, but I was happy when I saw the article that she'd gotten her ass beat in jail, so.
The poetic justice other, right there.
Yeah. So what I was going to say earlier, but I didn't want to just like totally sidebar your whole story. With the case that I covered a few weeks back now about Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. And we had updated that she had finally been arrested. I think she'd been arrested when we did the, right? Was she arrested already when we did the original episode? I can't even remember now.
I want to say no. I think it was like days before though.
Okay. So she had been granted bail. And as far as I know, but I don't understand when someone, like with this guy that you're covering today, Schaefer, he was granted bail. And in the time that he's out, he's killing people. If you are being charged, not necessarily convicted with, but if you're being charged with crimes that are harming people, I don't understand until it's figured out, yes, you're guilty or not, you know, you're not guilty, why we let these people out on the street. I do not understand that as a general rule or principle, because, okay, yes, I understand you're not guilty until proven in a court of law, but I also understand that if it is a crime where there is a victim, putting you back out on the street is not good for anyone. And right. So like with Lori Daybell, she was trying to get bond, and they actually had lowered her bond, which I definitely don't understand. I think just because she couldn't make bail. And then even when they lowered it, basically bondsmen didn't want to work with her, which good.
Good for them.
Yeah. And she really didn't have, I guess, enough collateral to put up in order to get out. And I don't think to this point, I think she's still sitting in jail, and I hope she never gets out of jail. But I'm glad to see in this case that like a lot more keeps coming out as to things that her and her brother Alex, who's now since passed away, have done. So things that came to my attention during the story when I was discussing Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell, her brother Alex, who since then had like this last December, just at the end of 2019, he died under suspicious circumstances as well. Okay. And he seemed to have been her hitman throughout our whole story that we told. But what I didn't know at the time, when he had at one point shot at his niece, Melanie, his and Lori's niece, Melanie's
what the estranged fuck?
Husband. Well, this is during the story that I told. But I didn't realize that her mom, Melanie's mom, which I just kind of assumed either she was Alex's daughter, because I knew she was Lori's niece. So I assumed that Melanie was either Alex's daughter, which would make more sense as to why he'd be shooting at Brandon, her estranged husband. But I came to realize somebody created a graph of like a family tree, basically, and like everybody who's passed away and like the circumstances and things. There is Lori and Alex have a sister who passed away under strange circumstances in the 90s, and it was Melanie's mom. So Lori, who's the mother of Tylee and JJ, the missing children, which is what the whole case was about, and what I didn't even realize was not even like the tip of the iceberg, but her brother Alex, who basically seems to be her, like, he was like her hitman for everything. Like, her Lori had a husband who died in 2018. Then in 2019, her current husband at the time, Charles, was shot by her brother Alex and passed away. That was the adoptive father to Tylee and JJ. And then Lori's new husband, Chad Daybell, his wife died under suspicious circumstances in
we still are waiting on the autopsy results for her, which I didn't realize because she had been autopsied and embalmed, or I'm sorry, because she'd been embalmed, not autopsied, that the autopsy results could take up to a year now because the embalming process messes with it. So we're waiting on that. Yeah. And they have not released the autopsy results for Alex. Now, Alex died, we discussed this in the episode, but he had died under suspicious circumstances as well. And they still haven't released how he died. And I'm almost wondering, did Lori take him out? Like, he was a loose end, or who knows? But to find out that their sister, way before any of this, died at home, the only person who was there with her was her brother Alex. It's very suspicious and a little like, I don't know, like, how do you kill your own sibling and why? Like, but then it's kind of like Lori's the only one left. I kind of would love to see, are their parents alive and what would they all have to say about all this? It's all insane. So
I just want proof that the kids are still alive. Like, why can't we have proof that the kids are still alive?
So there is new evidence. Not that they are alive necessarily, but just that has been turned over to prosecutors, which is like videos and pictures in Yellowstone National Park. And
yeah, but is there a timestamp on these that we can prove what date it is?
Yeah, but the thing is they could have gone back at other times they're unaware of, or I don't know that they necessarily have, because this isn't released to the public yet as far as like the videos and pictures. And I'm wondering, there is something in Yellowstone National Park that is called not Circle of Death, what is the words I'm looking for? But anyways, there's
the plot of land that you can't get charged for murder on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's very suspicious that they were there, like, of all places. And is it possible that that's where they did it because they knew they could get away with it? Then on top of all that, you have, well, and I've had you and another person message me about this recently, where we have the whole reason for all of this basically is because Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell are doomsday cult members who believe that the world is ending on July 22nd. And then I have assholes like yourself and a friend of mine messaging me and saying, oh, maybe they're not wrong with everything that's going on in the world. Maybe it is the end, but shut up, because you can't think like that. So. But it's all a lot. So I don't know. I hope we get answers in this case, because there's so much. I want the autopsy results. Like, I would give anything to be able to be part of the investigation on this case to find out what's going on. So
I feel like this is taking like way too much time to try to figure out what's going on with these kids. If they have the kids, all they got to do is be like, here, they're alive now, leave me the fuck alone.
They don't, because I'm pretty sure that, in my opinion, I don't think we're going to have a happy outcome for JJ Vallow, unfortunately. With Tylee, I go back and forth just because of the account that we shared of the cases of people that had seen her or thought they saw her. So for me, maybe she's in some kind of fucking like weird cult. I don't know. Like, maybe she's with other people that are part of this. I don't know. It's all so weird. And then on top of that, I hadn't known when we did the original episode that they had an older brother. Tylee and JJ have an older brother, like Lori's son, who had come out and said that his mom basically is not who he's known his whole life, and this is all just crazy. So I don't know, but hopefully we'll have an update eventually, even if it's a mini-sode, just to cover answers, because I know you guys probably want answers as much as I do. So
can I interrupt you for a second? Say hi.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Ethan brought me a White Claw.
Well, at least some bartenders aren't out of work.
Yeah, I texted Mike and I was like, can you have Ethan bring me a White Claw? And so I told Ethan he could say hi.
Aww.
Kat said hi.
Hi.
Okay, now you can go. Yes,
we're almost done. We're almost done.
Okay, bye. Just a few minutes, go. Crazy kid.
Oh, they're probably going out of their minds too. My daughter was like, when you're done, can we go for a bike ride? I'm like, yes, we'll get outside for a little bit as soon as I'm done recording. So,
right.
All right. Well, that was all a lot of sidebar, but I just want to...
I don't think I have anything else for you.
Well, we will try very hard this week to get a mini-sode out as well. But until then, I hope everybody that is listening stays safe. Stay home. Please do us a favor and stay home as much as you possibly can so that we can all get this knocked out and get back to our normal lives, hopefully, and hopefully everybody stays as healthy and safe as possible. I did see a meme that was the most accurate one I've seen so far, where it's like, I feel like a kid in kindergarten class who keeps losing recess time because one fucking kid isn't listening. And it's so true, because it's like we have still so many states who are just business as usual. And until everybody really locks down, I feel like we're not going to beat this. My state is ramping up and starting to head towards the numbers that New York and Washington and other states, unfortunately, have been seeing. So I hope that with all of the shutdown that we've done, that hopefully it'll go away. We'll knock it out and be done with it. So.
If you're worried about or not worried about yourself getting it, think about the people you care about that could potentially die from it. Like my little one, my one-year-old, he's a preemie. And he's a preemie, like he'll be considered a preemie until he's two. He had RSV 3 times last year, already had flu B and a severe double ear infection with a burst eardrum. And then I take care of my 77-year-old mom, both of which could die if they got this. So that is why I'm doing my part, because I'm not really concerned about me getting it. If I get it, I'm probably not going to realize I have it. And I probably wouldn't be of the one of the ones that die, but two people I love could. And that's why I'm sheltering in place. I'm doing what I can. I don't take Bubba out anywhere. And if I do go out somewhere and I have to take him, I take my mom so she can sit in the car with him and not have to go in places.
Yeah. Ugh, I know. It's not an easy thing to do. I understand people have to work. I understand people are like, I literally lost both my jobs this week, so I understand. I get it. But at the same time, the longer that it takes for us to get this under control, the more people that are going to die from it, and the more time it's going to take us to get it. So just shut everything down now.
I have another child that would like to say hi.
Oh.
Say hi, Steven.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Steven. We're both in my room now.
Aw. No, I feel like I have to have the kids come on one day and say hi. Aw. We have to get Bubba on.
Oh, yeah, right. All he'd do is scream.
Probably.
Go, guys, please.
Well, you go have fun with your boys, and we will record a mini episode, hopefully, fingers crossed, this week to give you guys something to do while you're all quarantined. So I appreciate all of you guys for doing your part, and I hope you enjoyed our episode today. What's that? Shitheads.
Ethan, did you hear his laugh?
No. All right, guys. Well, you go get them outside, get them some fresh air. Yes. And we will catch you guys next time.
Bye, guys.